Hello, everybody. I hope that you're all doing well and that you're having a wonderful day. This is Krista. I have been yearning to just sit down and chit chat. I need to get some of my thoughts on the mic and out of my mind. The first thing I guess I want to address, the weather. Oh my God. We had our first nice day. It's actually crazy to think about this, not to sound like spacey, but I saw someone say that, I think it was Sunday, it was like 60 degrees in New York, and they were like, this is the warmest day of 2024 so far, which is crazy to think about, but it is so exciting. So we had a really, really nice day this past weekend, and it made me fully ready for spring. I am in spring mode. Now, I've been realizing this over the past couple of weeks, how much I actually really, really love spring. Winter, don't get me wrong, it's great. There are so many nice qualities to winter where, you know, you get to be all cozy and comforted and yada, 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 Christmas and holidays, etc. It's lovely. However, and the snow's beautiful. However, spring is where it's at. I really thrive during the transitional seasonal months. The most extreme weather months, summer and winter, I will tolerate them. I will find things to appreciate about them, but at my core, they are just incompatible with who I am. I like temperate things, and spring weather is so ideal for fashion. I'm actually very, very excited, and I think spring is really great too. To me, like, it's starting to become my favorite season. I love fall. I've always had fall as my favorite season, but spring is giving fall a run for its money, because I feel like once it is fully spring, I'm going to feel this sense of renewal, and like I just want to refresh everything. I want everything to be like clean, out with the old, in with the new. I feel like during spring, that is when, the past couple of years at least, with the exception of 2020, I suppose, it seems like things are on the up and up once it hits spring. Like, you make it out of the yucky, depressing winter, and then spring hits, and all of a sudden you can wear like a cute little lacy skirt and a fun little camisole and, you know, no jacket. You don't need a coat. And your hair is flowing the wind, and cherry blossom petals are falling all around you, and like fruit is starting to become fresh again, and everything is just so lovely and in bloom. And all of a sudden you're like, let me just clean out my entire apartment. And then once you're done doing that, you have like one really hard day of cleaning, and you get rid of like six trash bags of random things that you were like, where did all this paper come from? You get rid of that, and then all of a sudden you're like, why do I feel like a 50-pound weight was just lifted off of my shoulders? This is amazing. And all of a sudden you find yourself just like being out in nature, smiling. Life is good, okay? That is the expectations I am setting on this spring. And I am fervently believing that I'm going to have that energy this spring. It's happening. But anyways, I'm really excited. I just got some new clothes in the mail from work, and they're all very springy. I'm so excited. I think this winter feels like a quintessential winter for me. I definitely feel like I've like hibernated and retreated a lot, but for all good reason. I feel like I've had a really good, solid winter. I mean, there's definitely been some parts of it that are just so emblematic of what winter is. But now I'm like, okay, I'm done. I am done with like being cooped up and feeling gloomy and sad. I am ready to blossom. Like, that is the type of energy I feel. I feel like I am on the verge of just blossoming, blooming, thriving, everything of that nature. That is the energy I'm carrying out. Okay, so that aside, I'm excited for spring. shifting gears. Now I'm going to be sad. No, I want to just be like fully frank and honest with how I've been feeling lately, because I just feel like I need to put this out there. I don't know if anyone else is feeling similarly, if anyone else can relate, but I feel like this time of year too is when a lot of these feelings arise for me, at least. I've been struggling, okay? Your girl has been struggling mentally and physically in terms of the ED department. Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I'm just going to be fully honest here that some things have really had me struggling out here. And by that, I mean, I don't want to like elaborate too much, because I feel like elaborating on that kind of stuff, it's very sensitive, and I, of course, never want to trigger anybody, but I'm trying to toe the line between like being transparent and honest with how I'm feeling in the event that like maybe this could make someone feel less alone, and just like we can, we can encourage each other in a way. I don't know. Anyways, but I just want to be like fully honest, but I also don't want to make this like a triggering thing. So if talking about ED stuff is maybe a little too sensitive for you at the time, totally understand. Maybe just like skip ahead however many minutes, because I will eventually be talking about something else. But with me and ED stuff, I've done episodes on my history with EDs, and I've talked more extensively about like just like what I've gone through and how I've like worked through them and whatnot. And I believe in that episode I've said that one thing I've found through recovery, or just like establishing a better relationship with my body, food, exercise, things of that nature, is that once you have entered a state of like recovery or making attempts to recover, it's not foolproof. And I don't say that to be like doom and gloom and discourage people. I say that to be realistic, that I will be fully honest. There have been years, there have been months on end where I'm thriving. I'm doing so good. Like, I absolutely have an amazing relationship with all things food, body, exercise. My self-esteem is great. Like, all things are great. All things are wonderful. And I feel so neutral and balanced and appreciative of everything. And then this is like the other the side to reality, is that sometimes you are not okay. Sometimes you will go through bouts where you feel like you're struggling again, maybe not to the full extent. And that's what I found with me. Like, I've never once like fully relapsed, but I've come to a place where I'm like, oh, I'm struggling. These thoughts, it's nearly impossible to fully eradicate your ED thoughts, the ED side of your brain, because it is like a mental illness that you just have to learn how to tame it. At least for me and what I've experienced firsthand and talking with other people who have had similar experiences with EDs, is there's no way to fully eradicate it. It is something you learn to tame. And you want to tame it in a way where it does not negatively impact your life, where you have a control over it. You're not going to act like you've never gone through it before. You're not going to ignore that that is a part of your history, but you're going to strive forward with the hopes of taming this thing so that it doesn't have the same grip on your life that it once did. And I've really been trying to remain on that trajectory, and because I genuinely feel my best when I have tamed my ED. But it has just been really, really hard, and I think a lot of things have brought it on or just like amplified it. And some of these things, unfortunately, are pretty out of my control to deal with, which sucks, because some of them are people that are in my life right now at this time, and they have a negative impact on my ED. I'm just being fully honest, because sometimes there are people in your life that can amplify those thoughts, amplify those reactions, triggers, whatever you want to call it. And right now, I have some people in my life who are doing that. I don't think that they intentionally realize that they're doing that. I don't think they're maliciously targeting me and like trying to amplify that kind of stuff. They have their own, I mean, I will just be fully honest. I'm not going to like, I say this not judging them and thinking like, oh, they're a bad person, blah, 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 blah. But they have a toxic mindset when it comes to bodies and what they deem beautiful, what they deem attractive, what they deem presentable. And it's not just because I don't agree with it that I'm deeming it toxic. It is flat out toxic. And I actually sat with myself earlier this morning and I thought to myself, like, is it me? Am I being too sensitive here? Because they made this person made these types of comments about someone's body and deeming like what is and what isn't attractive about them. And I was like, maybe I'm just being too sensitive. And then I was like, no. Who is this person to set the standard of what is attractive, what is appropriate, or not appropriate, what is presentable, what is marketable, what is, you know, trendy, what is cool, what is this, that, and the other? Who is this person to make those rules? And I'm pretty sure other people would disagree with them. I'm not in the minority for thinking the way that I think. But anyways, all that to say, I'm trying to not let certain people's opinions of what is deemed attractive, what is deemed aspirational, what is deemed beautiful impact me and my outlook on how I see myself and how I see others. Because that's the other thing, a lot of ED people or people who have had EDs do not want to admit is that when you are in the throes, and I mean throes, like you are in the thick of struggling with an ED, you have a really tainted outlook on not only your own physique, but other people's physique. You become so judgmental of your own appearance, and then that judgment then carries over into how you perceive other people. Because EDs are so rampant and like they're such beasts that and they're so all-consuming that your ED not only wants to rule your own mind and outlook on how you see yourself, but how you see others. It's insane. So I'm trying to, when I'm like dealing with this person's opinions that I don't agree with, I'm trying to not let them impact me and how I see myself. And I'm also trying to not let them impact how I see others. Because when you really think about it, it is so mind-boggling that in 2024, there are still people out there who want to point fingers and say, this is not attractive enough. This feature is not good enough to wear this type of outfit or to be seen as beautiful. That is insane to me. Like, I just want to shake those people and be like, genuinely, what is wrong with you? Do you hear yourself? Who are you to make those types of rules? Who are you to make those types of judgments? If I sound judgmental, let me sound judgmental, because it is so cruel that you want to sit here and deem a feature or multiple features of somebody attractive or not attractive, and you don't even know that person. You want to make these assumptions, and mind you, this is all based off of how someone is photographed or how someone comes off online or how someone is featured in an editorial spread or something like that. you are making passing judgments on photography or videos. Regardless, you have no place to make those types of comments. I don't care how old you are. I don't care who you think you are, what kind of social status you carry. It is not right. How do you sleep with yourself at night knowing that you make public comments to other people, with other people surrounding you, that you want to say, yeah, that's not attractive. Yeah, that's not good. That feature, that thing that her stomach is doing, that thing that her face is doing, that thing that her arm is doing, I don't like that. What in the world? And I think it's also funny too that, like, within the fashion industry, people who make these types of comments, or even outside of the fashion industry, people who make these types of comments and judgments usually are not the ones in front of the camera. They are usually not facing any sort of criticism themselves. No one is looking at their appearance and saying, well, I don't like your face. I don't like your body. I don't like how certain clothes fit you. No one is saying that to them. But for whatever reason, they think that they are able to exist on this planet and make those types of comments. I know I probably sound very dramatic, but it sickens me. It genuinely makes me ill and so frustrated that there are still people who function like this, who possess these types of thoughts and opinions and outlooks on other people. There are so many other more important things that we should and could be fixating on in this world. And you are still here devoting your time and energy. I don't care if it was a passing thought or something you thought about critically. You're still devoting your time and energy to criticizing someone's physical appearance and saying their face is too round. They look too old. Their arms look too big in this photo. I don't like the angle that they're standing at because it makes them look whatever. Please, 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 please check yourself before you make those types of comments. Think those types of thoughts. Like, oh my God, it astounds me. It astounds me. And so all that to say, dealing with people who speak that way and think that way has unfortunately been having a little bit of a negative impact on me. And it sucks. It sucks. I don't want other people's words or outlooks and perspectives to impact how I see myself. And I wish I could elaborate more as to why this person's comments are impacting me so thoroughly, because there's like another layer to this situation, and maybe someday in the future I will fully be able to explain it all. But all that to say, I'm just frankly really pissed that people still think and act this way. It's amazing. I would love to just clock somebody who makes these type of comments and be like, are you serious right now? Like, you really have that kind of opinion. You really just said that. And almost make it like a joke. Like, oh my God, I literally can't believe that in 2024, you are saying this about somebody else's body. What? What exactly is it that you don't like about their physical appearance that is hindering your life? Like, that you felt the need to open your mouth and say the things that you just said. Like, I'm a little taken aback, not gonna lie. That's kind of insane. Kind of crazy that you just said that. Whoa, that's nuts. And you're how old? Oh my, wow. That's crazy. Yikes. Anyways, and like, I'm not trying to sit here and be like, I'm more mature than you and, you know, like, get on my high horse or whatever. But still, it astounds me that like, grown adults will say the most outlandish things And I'm not talking like, you know, oh, you're 18. No, you are like late 20s. Oh, you're in your 30s. And you're saying this type of garbage. Like, oh my gosh, please seek help. If you don't have, like, also, hey, this is a concept that I know sounds so pathetic and juvenile, but it needs to be discussed. Why is it that when we were adolescents in kindergarten, grade school, whatever, we were taught the most basic principles of how to treat others well? Share, be nice, show kindness, be honest. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And we were taught that as children who did not have fully formed brains. We were so malleable and unaware and uneducated, yet we were taught these core principles because they are so crucial and important. So you better teach kids at an early age and keep reminding them as they progress in life. But something happens. For whatever reason, I have noticed something happens amongst adults where those core principles get lost. You know, when you're in school, when you're in grade school, before you graduate high school, there are repercussions to treating people rudely, lying, being disrespectful, saying nasty things. There are consequences to doing that. But all of a sudden, it's the wild, wild west once you get out of school. Even when you get to college, there is like, oh, we're adults now. There is this expectation that you will act appropriately, that you will act like a decent human being, that you will treat people with decency. But it is amazing that from age 18 plus on, those core principles get lost and lost and lost. And there's hardly anybody to reprimand those people, those grown adults, for acting the way that they're acting. And I know people are like, that's life. Welcome to being an adult. What in God's name is this? Why are we letting people act like this? That's the other thing too. I am so, as a 25-year-old woman, as a young woman, young adult, I am so beyond sick and tired of adults saying, that's life. Welcome to adulthood. Shut up. Shut up. No. Because when you say that, what you are saying to me, you are lazy. You are giving up. You are giving up on making our society better. And I get it. We have centuries of issues that have just piled on one after another. And so, yeah, it's easy for me to be like, why can't everyone just be kind and sing kumbaya together? I get it. Like, it's not that simple. The world's problems are not going to fix themselves by us just being like, hey, why doesn't everyone try being kinder to each other and showing decent behavior to each other? It's not that simple. I get it. But please, it's the most backhanded thing ever when people are like, welcome to adulthood. Some of you need to start hearing, welcome to kindergarten, because you are all acting like children. The way that you are a grown adult who is like a senior, a mid-level to senior level employee in your career, you probably make oodles of money. You probably live on your own, pay your own bills, do whatever. So you have this sense of like maturity in some regards, but in terms of treating other people with decency, oh my God, you're a child. You're a child. Who is letting you act like this. It's insane that some shift happens where you kind of get out from under your parent or your guardian's wing after you leave the house or whatever. And then some people turn into the shittiest, meanest people ever. Sorry to cuss, but like some people turn into monsters. And then there's no one there to reprimand them and put them in check. Now, like, yeah, some people can get fired from their jobs. Some people can lose their friends, like become isolated because everyone realizes, oh, this person sucks. No one likes them. I get it. But it is also infuriating when those people possess some sort of social status, clout, hierarchy in their career, where they have some sort of power over others. I cannot stand that. And I think if you've listened to this podcast or you know me personally, it is quite evident that I am someone who seeks justice. I cannot stand when actions or things are just left unjustified. It drives me crazy because I am someone who, as corny and cliche as it sounds, like I really want life on this earth, life in this country, life for people around my age to be as good as possible. And I really don't think it needs to be this hard. I just think some people are so stubborn, so selfish, so set in their ways. And yet we get into messes like this, where you are like this, these people, tying it back to, bringing it back to like the ED of it all. These people are so insecure with themselves, have some chip on their shoulder, and have some tainted outlook on what beauty is or what is deemed attractive or aspirational or whatever adjective you want to use. And because they have this unsettled view in their own mind, they then take it out on everybody else and perpetuate that toxic outlook onto everybody else. And it's disgusting, especially, and this is another reason why I get so passionate about this kind of stuff, is because when ED culture is spread in fashion, oh my god, it sucks the life out of fashion. No pun intended, but it sucks the life out of fashion. Fashion becomes less fun and less creative when you put all these pressures on it that, oh, well, you know, I really love styling and putting outfits together. However, I can't think about that and I can't feel this freedom to be expressive because I'm so hyper fixated on how I look in my clothes. That is infuriating. Because one of the best feelings ever, for me at least, is rifling through my clothes in my closet or scrolling on Pinterest and figuring out, oh my gosh, I can put this outfit together. And this outfit makes me happy. Or wearing these colors together, wearing these patterns, wearing these textures, wearing this kind of silhouette makes me feel a certain kind of positive emotion. I feel so creative. I feel so me. I feel like I am being true to myself. And that is powerful. That is liberating. I feel like I have so much confidence with the outfit I've put together. I'm so happy. I feel so joyous. But those feelings get clouded whenever you start putting all of these stupid pressures on it. Because now when you're putting an outfit on, you're not thinking about like, I really love how this fabric feels along my skin. Or I never noticed the cool detail in this pattern. You're now stressing and thinking about how are these pants going to fit on my legs? How is this top going to look around my arms? Or how is this, you know, going to look on my neck or my stomach? Or how does my face look or whatever? Like, oh my God. And then you lose the fun. You strip fashion of its magic and fun because we're so hyperfixated on these stupid, antiquated standards that some idiot decided to perpetuate, or group of idiots, I don't know, decided to perpetuate. It's sickening. And this is another thing too. I can't say I've heard a lot of people say this. People will say beauty standards are changing like all the time, and you know, things are going in and out of trend. I genuinely think that, like, yes, that's true. That's true. But I genuinely think this idea of like wanting to be hyper thin has always been a trend ever since whatever era. And forgive me for my botched history. I don't have my books in front of me. Sorry, my history or my anthropology of fashion book in front of me. But ever since the time period where it was, like, it used to be seen where if you had a more voluptuous, curvaceous figure, that was more attractive because people equated that sort of look with money. And I'm not excusing that and saying that's fine and that's right. I think it's kind of ridiculous to equate a certain look, whether it's thinner or curvier, with status, money, any sort of, like, positive connotation. I don't think that's right, but I'm just saying, like, there used to be a time when that was the standard of beauty, that was the standard of wealth, class, status that you were aspiring towards, and then all of a sudden we started to shift because, I don't know what it is, showing that you can, like, have so much control and deprive yourself of nutrients and or just like overwork yourself in terms of exercising and do whatever, that is aspirational, that is beautiful, that is a direct correlation to beauty. That level of like restriction shows some sort of power, and we should applaud that, and we should encourage other people to do that. We should pressure other people to want to look like that. This is the new standard. That has been perpetuated for quite a while. Even when, like, the BBL and all that stuff was, like, trendy and whatnot, being ultra thin or just, like, being thin and having sort of, like, a fit look, that's always been desirable. And it just, I think another thing too that I'm starting to notice is, in addition to everybody wanting to be thin or like depicted as thin, there's also this emphasis on not wanting to look old either. It's like, not only do I need to be skinny, but I also need to look prepubescent. I need to look young in the face. Well, newsflash, sister, whenever you starve yourself so much, and I'm just being fully real here, whenever you starve yourself so much or deprive yourself of nutrients and care, you're gonna look gaunt. And that does not look prepubescent, young, plump face, full of life. No, except the fact that your body is the way that it is. You need to be taking care of yourself. That is what we should be putting on a pedestal. And taking care of yourself can look so different for everybody. And that is okay. That's fine. We don't promote health. We promote the idea of health. And 9.999 times out of 10, the idea of health is not actually healthy. It's not. It's so sick and twisted that because of things like social media, mass media, whatever, print publications, etc., there is so much more of a hyperfixation on how everybody looks and wanting to come off a certain way. We cannot accept reality for what it is and just embrace how our bodies evolve and change for how they do. Every day my body is evolving and changing in ways that most of the time I don't notice, but it is, because that's life. And that is something that I should be able to celebrate. And I don't say that trying to like sound hokey or whatever, but like it's something that should be celebrated, that our bodies are constantly evolving and changing because we're living life. That is a part of living life. Living life does not look like trying to freeze your physical appearance so that you look trapped in a 13-year-old's body. Okay? Like, it's just, it's not it. And why? Can we also unpack, why are we so obsessed with wanting to look super, super young? Why? What's up with that? Like, seriously, someone unpack that. And I know, like, a lot of it is, like, infantilizing yourselves, and we live in a PEDO culture where that kind of stuff is rampant. I'm not saying that to sound like fear-mongering. I'm saying that, like, some people are messed up in the head out there and prey upon that kind of stuff, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But regardless, the next time you catch yourself or someone else, you hear someone else praising this idea of looking super, super young, prepubescent, looking like a teenager, what are we doing? You sound kind of weird. And no, it's not delusional. It's not, no. Stop trying to like romanticize infantilizing yourself. That's weird. And sorry, I'm like getting super, super ranty this episode, but hey, I have to get this stuff out. I said I had a lot on my mind. But all the other people like on social media who are, I'm just, how do they say it? I'm just a, sorry, I'm botching it, like a 30-year-old teenage girl or something like that. A 33-year-old teenage girl. What are you saying? What are you saying? If I were to be like, I'm just a 25-year-old teenage girl, what in God's name is that? Do we really want to go back to our teenage years? I sure as all heck don't want to. Were there fun parts of being a teenager? Absolutely. Yeah. There are also fun parts about me being in my 20s. But guys, be freaking present. Be present. I'm not saying that to sound like woo-woo and like mental health, spiritual type of person. No. Like, genuinely, I think that people are going to look back in 5 or 10 years, and whenever this whole wave of us pretending like we want to be like little teenage girls passes, people are going to be like, yeah, what the heck was up with that? I completely glossed over my 20s or my 30s because I was too busy calling myself a teenage girl. Like, and I'm sorry, it's probably sounding a little hyperbolic, but still, it's so stupid. Now I'm all about embracing girlhood, don't get me wrong, but hey, like, I've said this many a times, and I will always preach this sentiment. I'm down to be, like, you know what I did this morning? Do you know what I did this morning? This is me being 25-year-old teenage girl. At, like, 7 in the morning, I realized, oh my god, I'm an adult. I'm drinking my coffee and my water right now. And I have free will. I can literally do whatever the heck I want to. I don't start work for a few more hours. I'm just sitting here. And instead of going on, like, I could go on TikTok, I could go on Instagram, Pinterest, what have you. But you know what I went on? Stardoll. I went on Disney Channel games and played, like, the old Disney Channel games. I played the Hannah Montana dress-up game. Now, did I stop after 2 rounds because I was like, this is kind of stupid and the graphics kind of suck? Yeah, I did. But I am proudly a 25-year-old who took 20 minutes out of my morning and was like, oh, this is fun. I forgot that it looked like this. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. I remember this outfit. I remember doing this type of thing when I was younger. Stuff that you did when you were a teenage girl or a child, you can still do as an adult. Now, some things, yeah, let's draw the line. But if you, like, I don't know what it is. If it's, like, the way that you dressed or music that you listen to. Girl, I listen to old music all the time. I have no shame in it. You know what kind of high I get from listening to the old music I listen to? And believe me, I am fully self-aware that, like, yeah, some of these lyrics are pretty cringy. The song's a little cornball. But some of them, I'm like, oh, no, no, this fully eats. Potential Breakup Song by Ali and AJ, are you kidding me? Song slaps. It slaps, okay? But I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm a 25-year-old teenage girl. No, I'm a 25-year-old who likes to listen to this song because it's a freaking good song. And yes, I listened to it when I was like 8 years old, but it still holds up. Okay? I don't have to infantilize myself just to like excuse the fact that I like things that I liked when I was younger. There's no expiration date on liking that kind of stuff. Sorry for all the sirens in the background if you can hear that. But like, another thing too, I have maybe shared this before, but if not, I've definitely told my friends, my boyfriend, family members, they all know. One of my dreams and goals in life is I want to get a dollhouse, either like make it, which that would be kind of crazy, make it from scratch, or just get a blank dollhouse. And I want to, like, what's the right word? Precisely and ornately decorate each of the rooms with so much detail and care. And I'm going to give it to either, like, a niece, nephew, or my kids. But that is something I would love because I've always loved dollhouses. One of my elementary school friends had the sickest dollhouse ever. And it drove me nuts that she never played with it and she didn't like it. But it was so ornate and so stinking cool. Every time I would go over to her house, I would literally just stand in front of her dollhouse and like take inventory of each of the rooms because they were so ornately decorated. They were beautiful. And so I've always loved that kind of stuff. We had little dollhouses growing up and I was obsessed with them. I think I was more obsessed with the house than I was like putting the dolls in the rooms and whatever. But so that's an example there that I'm like, I can appreciate something from my childhood as an adult, but I don't have to infantilize myself in the process. I can just be like, yeah, dollhouses are really cool. Why? Because I think there's something very artistic and admirable about being able to decorate something so ornate and small. Like, that requires a lot of skill and detail. And I just love how people are able to take these macro things and make them super miniature. It's impressive. It's cute. It's fun. That's it. But when it comes to that kind of stuff, oh my God, please shut up with the, I'm just a 25-year-old teenage girl. I'm just a 33-year-old teenage girl. You are a 33-year-old who needs to get a grip. That's what you are. Okay? But yeah, that goes back to the whole thing of like, we are going through a phase right now. Ever since last year was like the year of the girl, which I'm all about. I'm all about embracing girlhood. But again, do it in a healthy way that does not require you or involve you infantilizing yourself. That's not necessary. Hey, we don't need to do that. Like, I acknowledge that millennials and parts of Gen Z really love nostalgia. We eat that up. And some people will be like, yeah, because we love nostalgia because everything in the 2020s sucks. And so we have to look back to like remind ourselves of like good times. And maybe there's some truth to that. But the other thing too that I think we need to realize is that those things from the past don't need to have an expiration date. They don't need to remain in the past. If there's something that you liked doing as a kid, maybe there's a few exceptions, but I think with most things, you can still do them as an adult. I mean, I won't judge you. I can't promise other people won't, but who cares? Literally, who cares? You know, if, like, for me, for example, I loved sidewalk chalk as a kid growing up, but, you know, well, I mean, granted, I live in New York, so it's not like I have a driveway or whatever, but if I'm going home to my parents' house and they have some sidewalk chalk in their garage and it's a sunny day, I will be out there on the driveway doodling with the sidewalk chalk. Like, another example of you don't have to stop doing those types of things just because you were a kid. Let those types of nostalgic posts be a reminder of things that you could do today. Oh yeah, I remember whenever my friends and I would get together and we would have little sleepovers. And we would all eat fun snacks and watch rom-coms or whatever. And we would paint nails, do our hair, do Just Dance, the Wii Just Dance in the basement, mood gossip. Hey, oh my god, if I could somehow get all of my friends together in our different geographic regions, if I could get us all together one Friday night and do that, I 1000% would. I totally would do that. If I have the means to do something like that, you better believe I'm not going to be like, well, that's something we did as kids. So again, when you see this kind of post, no need to be like, ah, that's in the past. Life was so good back then. Do you realize, like, this is the other thing too. If you're an adult and you have a full-time job and maybe you have some disposable income, you have more access to doing those types of things that you did as a child than you did as a child. Because most likely as a kid, you did not have money. It was by luck or by chance that your parents or guardians or whoever, family friends, bought you toys or took you places or whatever. You can do those things as an adult if you want to, if it's going to bring you happiness. I'm just saying. Anyways, I've really gone on a tangent, a little rabbit hole or rabbit trail of going from ED talk to stop infantilizing yourself. But anyways, those are just things that have really been on my mind. And the other thing that I will say to kind of jump off of the whole infantilization bandwagon, I've seen stuff on TikTok that I think is really, really interesting. There seems to be this, I don't know what you would want to call it, dichotomy between people who are like, I'm fully on the, I'm just a little girl, I'm just a girl, I'm just, you know, a little teenage 30-year-old teenage girl, whatever bullshit. And then you have the people who are like, I am a housewife. I am a stay-at-home mother. I am practicing homemaking and domesticity. And that is so odd to me. So interesting. I shouldn't say odd. It's very interesting how right now I feel like we're kind of on this like cusp where it seems like one group of people is all about like, I'm just a little girl. And the other one is like, yo, I'm in my early 20s, but I'm like fully acting like I am Michelle Duggar over here making sourdough and like just being a little housewife, a stay-at-home girlfriend. It's very interesting. I don't have too many thoughts on it because there's a lot to unpack. And I'm still like taking it all in for myself, but just want to throw that out there. I've noticed this interesting dichotomy between some women, and I'm mostly speaking about women because it's women that I see do this. Maybe there are some guys who do this, but it's mostly just women that I see doing this, where they are, one group is just like very youthful, and then the other one is like all about being a homemaker. And I'm not saying that like the two are mutually exclusive, but the way that the homemaker, stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home or like housewife, stay-at-home girlfriend group portrays themselves is that like they are very mature, that they have all these responsibilities and whatnot. And they act like very, very old, or things that you would see an older woman doing. So, just interesting. I think, and like I said, I'm not really going to unpack it too much because I still need to like sit with that more, but I honestly feel like both groups are using those types of facades as ways of like coping with themselves and like figuring out their place as a 20-something. You either go the route of like, yeah, I'm a 20-something, but I'm also a teenage girl. I'm also a little girl. Or, yeah, I'm in my 20s, but I'm also going to act like I'm 35, I have 4 kids, and I have a house, and I cook 3 meals a day and snacks for my entire family, and I do laundry for us, and we have 3 dogs, and we live in a ranch-style house. Like, it just seems like there's those two camps, and I feel like I hear a lot of people say that in your 20s, and I mean, I can attest to it myself. In your 20s, it's all about just figuring out your place, figuring out who you are, and you are a baby adult. I'm not saying that as infantilizing, but you are a new adult, and you're trying to find your place as an adult. So, to me, what I've found, at least over the past couple of years, it seems like there's two paths that people are embarking on. One, they're going back in time and they're being a kid, or like choosing the path that celebrates youth and makes them feel like they're still in their youth days. And then others where it's like they are accelerating forward, where they're almost like bypassing their 20s and they're acting like they're fully domesticated, settled in. It's very interesting. And it's also fascinating too. Okay, maybe this is a weird take, but I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think I've seen a lot of people say this. But if we want to talk about how class plays an impact on how we perceive and celebrate certain people who take the more domestic route, the more like stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home, or like, I can't even keep the term straight. I was going to say full-time wife, the housewife, the stay-at-home girlfriend. Those that take that route and have money are praised. If you take that route and you do not have money, you're trailer park trash. You are the ones who peaked in high school. Like, because here's the thing that I was thinking about. I know a lot of people who took the Nara Smith path. If we want to, like, use Nara Smith as an example. If you don't know who she is, look her up. I do follow her on TikTok. I like her cooking videos. I think she has some really cool recipes, and her voice is soothing. But, you know, like, there's layers to her content, sure. Anyways, but someone like her who practices domesticity, I'm not hating on it, it's just what she does. She practices domesticity, and she's quite young, and it's praised because she's very put together. She always is dressed to the nines. She has a beautiful backdrop. Okay, again, the sirens, sorry. She has a beautiful backdrop of her kitchen and her house and her cute little toddlers. And, you know, she doesn't show you hardly any mess or, you know, anything like that. Everything is so aesthetic and curated. And I get it. She's a content creator. Rarely do those folks show you the mess. But I know other people who, I guess, like, in a way, they've done the same route, where a lot of people who are probably around her age or my age, some of them own homes, and granted, like, it's in a small town. I actually don't know where she lives. I'm assuming like LA, but the people that I know who right after graduating high school, they did that. They own homes. They're married. They have kids. Some of them are like stay-at-home moms, whatever. Some of them work, but they don't have the level of status or class as someone like she does. And I feel like they're at least like the types of conversations I've heard around people like that I went to high school with, or people who do that, like you go to high school, they graduate, and they immediately start a family, they immediately have kids, they immediately get married, stay in their small town, they almost get made fun of because it's like, oh my gosh, you peaked in high school. There's nothing better to do in this town but do those things. But it's interesting that on social media, there are people who are doing those things. It's just in a slightly different font. They're doing it in a city. They have a house, but it's a nicer house. They are married, but they're married to like a celebrity, or in her case, a model. And they have more money to show, so things look fancier. And it's interesting that if you stripped back all of the money, all of the class, with someone like Nara, it would probably look like the people you went to high school with, who had kids right out of high school, or just stayed in their small town and bought a house and carried on with their life domestically like that. Very interesting. More to unpack on that, I guess, but just want to put that out there. And I've heard people make comments about like, I don't know how old she is. I think she's the same age as my sister, my older sister. Kylie Jenner is quite young, and she has her two kids, and people are like, if she wasn't Kylie Jenner, people would be, you know, calling her trailer park trash, or like just making a mockery of her for having kids at such a young age. But yeah, it is just very interesting how like certain things, certain like domestic things, I guess, get painted in a different light when there's money involved. Just something I've noticed over time. It's fascinating. And I feel like it's nothing new, but it is just interesting that, especially with things like TikTok, where you can portray a lifestyle a certain way, that some people will be like gawking over someone like Nara Smith. And understandably, like I said, I follow her. Her content's cool. But it's like, if my high school classmates, and I'm saying this hypothetically, I'm not like pinpointing any of them. If my high school classmates are posting on Facebook, like the muffins that they made, or the cute little art project that their kid brought home, or how they're decorating their house with Ray Dunn, people aren't like, you know, running over to their Facebook profile to look at that kind of stuff, you know? So it's just very fascinating. But anyways, I feel like I have been rambling on and on and on, so apologies for that. But that's honestly all I have to say as of now. I feel better now that I've gotten it all off my chest. I hope you enjoyed listening to it all. Hope you all have an amazing rest of your day. And I will chat more with you later.